T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
We had the election, of course, last Tuesday, and Tim Fitch, who has been on the show many times over the years for a couple of different reasons, he was the former St. Louis County Police Chief and then the county councilman, my county councilman in St. Louis County. Well, he's getting out of the game, at least for now, and that's an open seat in St. Louis County. And because Sam Page is likely to be the, he's going to win this race. He's a Democrat. He's going to win in the fall. You're going to have the possibility of Lisa Clancy and the progressives taking over, like completely taking over that county council, unless a guy like Dennis Hancock can't win. He's the former mayor of Fenton. I used to know Dennis pretty well back in the day. We haven't communicated, but he's the Republican nominee for that council seat, and we'll talk with him a little bit later this hour. We have an audio cut of the day as well. I want to guide you into the information about the Spain tour. We're heading to Spain with the show and hopefully with you next April 23rd through the 30th. 3 nights in Madrid, 3 nights in Barcelona. You can go to defineddestinations.com, defineddestinations.com, or if you go up to the top of my Twitter site at Mark Reardon KFTK, you'll see a pinned tweet, and it's got all the information about the great trip in Spain. So you can reserve the trip today. The airfare, the pricing of the whole trip is spectacular. We're going to focus on food and drink and fun. Got a great group of core people already that have jumped on and would love you to be a part of it. So go to defineddestinations.com. I know gas prices have gone down just a little bit, and some people are getting some relief. Of course, the Biden administration wants to focus on that. But I think this is going to be interesting, all the emphasis on EVs. We've talked about for years, you know, revenue from gas tax is how we fix our roads and bridges in large part. And that's going to change in the future. And Eric Felton, who has been on the show before, he's with Real Clear Investigations, did a piece about how this issue is going to affect you and why privacy rights might be at stake as well. I think this is fascinating moving forward because I don't know what the elected officials are going to end up doing. They're trying to throw some darts and see what people might be comfortable with, I think. Eric, how are you? Welcome back.
Fine, thanks. How are you doing?
Fine. So this is fascinating because we all fill up our gas tanks and we're charged so much per gallon. We have a lower gas rate here in Missouri, although it did go up a little bit in the last legislative session, but we're still proud of our low gas tax. But Eric, as you know, this is a crisis moving forward. If, well, it already is probably, because I have an SUV right now that gets, if I'm driving properly, 26 to 28 miles per gallon. That's pretty good for a midsize SUV. So the fuel efficiency has gotten better. You add that, the EV component, where's all the tax money going to come from? That's the question, right?
Yeah, and it's one of these things where people haven't been sort of talking out loud about it, but on Capitol Hill, they've been talking about it for some time, realizing that, you know, if you're not getting gas taxes, the electric cars that are using the roads, what's going to pay to fix the roads?
Well, so now there's, you outlined several models for this. You could do it with GPS-based mileage, right? You could do something where there's some sort of communication when you refuel or when you recharge your cars. What are the other options there?
Well, you know, if you think of all of the data, the digital data that we throw off all the time, there's your phone in your pocket, and it acts as a sort of GPS device for you. Your car, let's say you've taken one of those deals from the insurance company that very kindly wants to say, if you're a good driver, we'll give you a discount. Well, good driver means that you are giving the insurance company access to data from your car that will compare where you were and how fast you were driving against what the speed limit on that street was. And so it's gathering all of this information about where you were and where you go. And your car produces that information as well on its own. You know, let's say you have a car with OnStar. Well, you might, that might make you feel safer, but that OnStar device is actually gathering attention information. If you've got EasyPass or another kind of electronic toll-paying device, they're keeping data, and they can give that data to the police department.
I have Journeys on my app with my car, and I think a lot of apps are like this. So I can open it up, and you know, this is good if you're trying to take your tax deductions for your mileage because it's giving you all of your trips, but it also tracks everything that you're doing, right? So it's the insurance thing, Eric. I remember State Farm pitched this to me, and they sent me a couple of these things, and I never really even installed them in my cars. First of all, I don't know that I follow the speed limit, so that was one problem. But I also thought it was just a little creepy, and that's sort of what we're going to be posed with in the future when it comes to some of these things.
Yeah, you know, location data, as it's called, is where you've been and where you go. It tells a tremendous amount about you. You know, if you go to a protest that turns out to be controversial, do you really want the government to be able to look up whether your car went from your house to, you know, Washington, D.C. on a given day when there was a protest? And that could be something that you care about, whether you're a conservative or a liberal. You know, sort of trying to protect your privacy is definitely a bipartisan issue. And, you know, there's a lot of people promising that the data will be protected. But people who are serious about privacy say the only way that you can make sure that data won't be compromised is that you don't collect the data in the first place.
Right. So you have a quote in the piece from Sam Graves. He's a congressman from the or a state rep from the other side of the state, the ranking member of the House Committee on Transportation. And he said, you know, he's been talking about this for a while, to eliminate the gas and diesel taxes and to move toward a realistic solution. Is there anything after doing the reporting on this, Eric, that is the best realistic solution in your mind or in other people's minds?
You know, I think that there's going to, you know, have to be some different thing other than the gas tax once things move to electric vehicles. But I think that what has to happen, if it's not going to become a sort of a privacy fiasco, is some kind of solution that doesn't record where you were or where you went. Maybe some device on the car that counts total miles. It's a sort of odometer, right? Extra odometer.
But it doesn't say where you're going.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. There would have to be something, because otherwise you're not going to end up being able to effectively collect any. I mean, I'd be fine with that if they're not going to take any of our money and confiscate it. But obviously you have to have roads and bridges. So this would be one area, which is another reason I'm a fan, or always have been a fan, of a user tax and tolls. A lot of people don't like that, but essentially that's what we're going to get to.
Yeah, and I think the people who are talking about there being, you know, privacy being of importance, I think the way you judge whether they're really serious about that is, do they look for every opportunity to find a solution that doesn't gather data? Because gathering data is so easy to do now. It's the easiest thing in the world. And the hard thing is figuring out how to come up with solutions that don't gather data.
And I feel like this is one of those topics, you might feel this way too, because I'm sure you've been reporting and talking about this for several years. I can't remember when the first time I discussed this issue of, hey, guess what? We're going to have to talk about different options for roads and bridges because of what's happening with fuel efficiency and EVs. But we're getting pretty close to having to make a decision, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, as electric cars are becoming a reality, the systems that they use are, you know, decisions are being made about those kinds of systems. Systems like, you know, what's a charging station going to look like, and does it work for every possible car? You know, there are going to be a lot of what I would call VHS Betamax decisions that are going to get made. You know, what's going to be the standard? And you want to be sure that the standards that have anything to do with privacy are the ones that protect privacy as much as possible. Because once it's been built in there that the privacy setting is optional or other ways compromised, you can be pretty sure that privacy will go out the window then.
Yeah, well, and I think there's legitimate concerns that's already happening. But we all love our technology, and I think we don't realize how much our technology is tracking us already.
Our technology loves us, obviously.
All right, Eric, listen, I think this is fascinating. We'll see where it takes us. But obviously, discussions are underway because they got to have your tax confiscation is what I'll refer to it. Eric Felton from Real Clear Investigations, I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
517 97.1 FM Talk. We are told, by the way, Sue, I don't know if you know this information, I'm told that the hit-and-run driver is now in custody.
Oh, hooray!
Yeah. How about that? So let's see if we have updated information on that. You reported earlier that they had found the car.
The truck.
A week. A week and a half ago now, or mm-hmm. a little bit, 10 days ago, the incident that happened at Ted Drew's on Chippewa where a teenager was killed. They had images of the truck. Mm-hmm. Then you reported earlier, there was a repair shop that had reported?
Yeah, the person, the owner of that vehicle, took it to get repaired because it had front end damage. And the guy who was repairing it called the police and said, I think this is the vehicle you're looking for.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But they had not, they didn't at least let us know that the person had been arrested yet.
Right. Well, we got that information, so that's good. One of the other things I wanted to get to here this afternoon, because I've spent a fair amount of time on this trans issue, and let me circle back to the communication that I had from an acquaintance and a friend in the spring that I shared with the audience, and luckily that all turned out very well. But I really focus on these sometimes, and I like to bring it up because I know that there are other parents out there that are dealing with these issues. And just to recap real quick, there was someone who I was familiar with that reached out to me after hearing about some of this stuff that I was discussing and said, look, I'm in a nightmare right now with my 13-year-old. This is someone who had gone through a real rough time with the pandemic, and this is someone who'd been hospitalized 3 times, very confused about gender identity, was behind in school, is going to have to repeat 8th grade. All these things were happening, and finally got an email or a message about a month ago saying, hey, my daughter thinks she's a girl again, and everything is fine, she's happy, and we're moving forward. But it was a nightmare. So this is happening time and time again, and there's this Substack board called PIT, Parents with Inconvenient Truth About Trans. And the stories that are on here are very consistently common. So you're going to hear common ground between the story that I just shared in synopsis fashion with a friend of mine and with the other parents that talk on the PIT sounding board. So this is a parent. And they're all posting anonymously because of the nature of these particular topics. But this mom says, at the tender age of 15, our sweet, nerdy son announced completely out of the blue that he was trans and needs hormones. I feel like a broken record. He has autistic-like personality traits, a tendency to black and white thinking and hyper-focus, a sweet and empathetic character. He's quirky, brilliant, STEM and computer-focused, social justice warrior. He is also one of a significantly increasing number of teen boys and young men tragically overlooked who are identifying as, quote, trans, unquote. Also similar to many other trans-identified male teens and young adults these days, his trans appears to be more like an anime character than an actual woman. We're hearing this more and more, these anime characters. This is fascinating to me because now I've had a parent that has shared that particular side of the story with me. It is bizarre, but these things are happening. So listen to this story. About a month ago, my now 18-year-old son started taking spironolactone, that's a long word, by the way, estriadol, provided by a physician after one visit. So these are hormones, right? I can't pronounce the hormones, but they're hormones. Under the informed consent model. Informed consent is not informed, nor is it real consent for these confused kids. This is so important. This mother says many of these kids have never lived life in the real world or on their own before deciding to take on the heavy burden of medicalization. They're naive and tender, often a year or two behind in social and emotional development, maybe more than that now, coming out of the pandemic. My son has spent the better part of the last 3 years in his room alone online for school and socializing because of COVID and lockdowns. While his trans ID came out before COVID, we had noticed strong signs of desistance 2 years ago, only to see the trans ID come roaring back when he hooked up with a toxic friend or two online during the long winter of school closure. Mom says, I would argue that these are kids who have missed out on a solid 2 years of crucial in-person social development. This is going to be a crisis that we're going to feel for a long time, sadly, I think. I'm not a mental health professional, but that seems obvious to me. So how in the heck can a, this is a great question. How can a physician decide on the first visit that these kids are able to give informed consent? Even she says, even though it's the magical age of 18, my son is acting like a 15 or a 16-year-old emotionally and mentally, exacerbated by the pause in development caused by COVID. So she writes, is our child listening to anyone cautioning against medicalization? Heck no. Although our relationship is pretty good, all things considered, he has completely shut out us from the gender conversation, is latched onto the idea that this transition is what he's going to do no matter what. How do we, as parents of a newly minted young adult who knows everything, he won't listen anymore, and who's embarking on a risky pathway of using harmful medications for a self-perpetuating mental condition, how do you deal with that? She says, this is a shattering situation as we watch our child head off on a risky path. I wish I had a roadmap, but I feel like once again I'm flying blind into the hurricane. I've read several of these pieces on the air from these parents, and there's a lot of commonality here. The parents are helpless. They're very confused. They know that if they do something along the lines of any kind of criticism, then that's more pushback from their kids, and that's going to alienate them even further. I think the good news here, and this mom even says, positive signs in our broader society are encouraging. I recently had a conversation about gender issues with some friends who are very progressive. I'm holding on to this hope too, okay? Our conversation was wide-ranging, covering the potential harms of medicalization, what is happening in schools today, the violent threats against J.K. Rowling for sticking up for women's spaces, and more. I was stunned by how much we agree on gender issues. This is a conversation I would have never dared to have had 3 years ago because it likely would have imperiled our friendship. The tide is indeed turning, and everyday liberal-minded people are seeing through the lies now. I find this immensely encouraging. When more liberal Democratic voters see through the gaslighting, a real sea change is inevitable. I think this mom is right. And I'm seeing it as well. And I'm seeing it with my liberal and progressive friends. I'm seeing it with my gay friends who are outraged by what's happening with some of the trans stuff because there's a big disconnect there. So I give a lot of credit to Parents with Inconvenient Truth about Trans, PIT. And if you want to find it, go to pit.substack.com. If you're a parent who might need this or you have a family member who might need this, the stories are very, very important and helpful and might just save some people this day and age. 524 at 97.1 FM Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, we still have an audio cut of the day before we wrap up the hour. I think I might have to feature Olivia Newton-John just a little bit. She passed away at the age of 73. That's how we started the show. So that's coming up here in just a little bit. I got some politics as well. Another reminder, we're taking listeners to Spain next year. Go to DefineDestinations.com to find out information about the trip. 3 nights in Barcelona, 3 nights in Madrid. We actually start in Madrid. We leave on the 23rd of April. It's a beautiful time to be in Spain, and we're taking a big group, so get signed up. DefineDestinations.com. For those of you who use the Twitter, you can go to @MarkReardonKFTK. That's how you would follow on Twitter. And up at the top, you can do that pinned tweet thing. And I did that with all the information about the trip. It's right up there. Or just go to defineddestinations.com. So we had Election Day last week. I live in the 3rd District of St. Louis County. That's where Tim Fitch represents, the former St. Louis County police chief. He decided that he wasn't going to run for election. So there was a primary last week. Former Mayor of Fenton, Dennis Hancock, is the person who's going to face off with a Democrat from Sunset Hills in the fall. And these are very important seats. There's 2 seats that are going to be open here on this board. And the, you know, the bottom line is, for those of you who are dissatisfied with the way that the county's being run and maybe even took a D ballot and voted for Jane, well, that's over. That ship has sailed. So now you got to worry about these council seats. Dennis Hancock is with me this afternoon to talk about how important this is. How are you, Mr. Mayor? Good to have
Fine,
you back.
Mark.
We haven't spoken in, it must be a decade, right?
It's been a long time, but it's good to have you on with you this afternoon.
Well, let me just start with Fenton just a little bit, because when you and I first started talking, I was living in the city. Then I moved to Jeffco part of Fenton. Now I live in, it's technically High Ridge, but I'm right there at 141 and 44. And it makes me so happy as someone, I tell this story every once in a while, Dennis, about maybe 6 years ago, before Werenberg was sold to Marcus, Kelly Hoskins, who did the marketing, text me one day and said, hey, how would you like to go up in the popcorn, you know, hot air balloon? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So the flight that particular day took us right over the Chrysler plant and all that pavement. And here I am flying in a hot air balloon. It was sad, Dennis, to see all that vacant concrete on a once great location where people, you know, made automobiles. And you thought to yourself, what's going to happen with that property? And now, here's the story. So, Sue, you'll love this. My wife's office is very close to where all that is, where Amazon fulfillment is. She ordered something at 2 o'clock the other day. It was there by 4:30.
Whoa!
How about that?
That makes me happy.
It's nuts, isn't it? But I mean, Fenton, look at how much has happened there.
Oh, it's a great development, and it's one that, you know, when you look at the TIF statutes, you know, they were originally designed to take an abandoned industrial plant from World War II and turn it into something productive, and using tax dollars to make that happen. And that's exactly what, you know, Chrysler was a poster child for that. And so the TIF that was used for that was something I supported and several other people supported. And you look at it today, and it's a great place for people to come to work. They're not finished yet.
Well, so, and then, you know, you have Panera's moving in there to the Merits building on one side as well, I think, right? So that's an area that is really churning. And behind the Drury Inn at 141 and 44, there's a big apartment complex that's going in. But let's kind of talk about the county overall and your reason for getting into this race, because you do have a lot of great economic things that are happening in St. Louis County. But the leadership is still somewhat questionable, as I think you're aware of, Dennis Hancock.
I am. You know, like a lot of people, I've been looking at county government for some time now, and I just found myself getting increasingly frustrated and disappointed with the leadership in St. Louis County. It seems like every day we're hearing stories of somebody who was selling influence, or somebody who did something that was ethically questionable, or even somebody that, you know, was having sex in their office. And I think the people of St. Louis County deserve better than that. And unfortunately, the Democrats on the council have abdicated their oversight responsibilities, and that's led directly to an atmosphere that not only allows for such behavior, but it encourages it, because the people who are doing it know there's not going to be any repercussions.
Did you have an opponent last week on the ballot?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I know I voted for you, even though you didn't have an opponent, because I knew you were running for that. Well, but, you know, now you have, and we've talked a lot about apathy here in the last week, maybe even more than that, just because you see how many people vote in these primaries, and I get that people are busy, but I would say, you know, we're going to talk about the control of Congress, United States Senate this fall, but this St. Louis County Council, and it's not just for St. Louis County, I know you can only vote if you're in St. Louis County, but you would probably agree that this is important for the whole region, Dennis.
Oh, absolutely. St. Louis County is obviously the largest county in the region. It's the economic hub of the region. We want to make sure that it continues to be that. And I think that we need to make sure that we have voices from both sides of the aisle who can, you know, bounce ideas off of each other. There was something in the paper this morning about, you know, people talking about, you know, we need to get along. Well, no, we need to keep each other in check. And I think that we need to have ideas and get our ideas out. And if our ideas, if we can find some common ground on those ideas, that's great. And typically we find something pretty good to work from.
So what do you think? And I don't know, it's hard to tell with all these races. You have state rep races, obviously congressional races, a position for the St. Louis County Council, which is important, might get drowned out a little bit in the noise of the election. But you got to kind of try to stay front and center here. So what's the message for people as you head out? And is this a district where you can knock on enough doors to make a difference, or is it too big?
Well, I think it's probably too big. But, you know, there's enough information out there today that you have a pretty good idea of which precincts would be in play, which ones are winnable, which ones, don't bother going there because it's either they're going to be 100% for you or 100% against you.
Well, so, did you have an opportunity, even though you were not opposed? I'm just curious. When you talk to people in St. Louis County in the district, what are the things that come to mind? I'm guessing it's not climate change.
It's not. It's not climate change. It's not abortion. It's the economy. How do we put people back to work from the last few years of COVID? It's COVID. It's the response to COVID. It's the mask mandates. It's people losing their jobs because they refuse to get vaccinated. Now, those are all things that are critical to the people of St. Louis County. And I think that they need a voice on the council who will be able to stand up and say, look, this stuff isn't what you're proposing to do isn't right. And we need to do the right things for the people of St. Louis County.
You've been in politics for a while. I know you ran for this seat before a few years ago, but obviously politics has changed a lot even in the last 5 years. And what's fascinating to me, especially coming out of COVID, is seeing parents and the mama bears, as I like to say, on the youth sports issue. People, Dennis, who you probably never saw involved in any kind of political movement, who took the time to show up at school board meetings or county council meetings or wrote letters to the county council. That's quite fascinating and an interesting dynamic that's really been applied in the last couple of years, I think.
Well, I think people are finally beginning to realize that local government has a much more impact on their lives than the federal government does. As I used to tell people when I was the mayor of Fenton, who makes sure your trash gets picked up?
Yeah, right.
The mayor of Fenton does. Who makes sure that the potholes get filled? The mayor of Fenton does. And I think that people are beginning to realize that school boards and local government are really important to the way that their lives go and the quality of their lives.
Well, that's why it's even, I think, more sad that more people don't take time to, we had a discussion on the roundtable on Friday about this. Just you have people, we all know them, they're smart people, they're successful, they may make a lot of money, they're intellectual, but then they're confused by voting and they don't vote.
They're not
and
engaged.
They get intimidated or what, I don't know what it is, but that's just the opposite of the way that some of us are built. And then they complain about things. So I don't know how to fix that. I really don't.
Yeah, I think that the big thing is for somebody like me who's obviously wanting to get elected, it's up to me to get the word out. And I think with the advent of social media and the rise of social media, I think we've seen more and more politicians over the years who have figured out that that's a great platform to work from. Yep, your message may get lost in some of the shouting that goes on social media, but at the same time, it's really an effective, you can target people very specifically and get your message out to a very specific audience.
Radio advertising is the best. I would pour money into radio advertising.
100%.
That is where it's at, Dennis. Well, I'm glad that you're kind of back in the game. I knew that you had never disappeared, but Dennis used to be a guest on the show. You were on the roundtable at one point, weren't you, back in the day? And you didn't go to federal prison, so that's a win for you right there, Dennis.
Yeah, I was out on a few times, and as I told Fred earlier, that my goal, if I get elected, is to become the official county council member for the Reardon Roundtable.
Yeah, well, that's a lofty goal, and I like it. I see you're setting appropriate targets, and we got to get you on there, I think, just to get the name out there. I do think this is an important seat. I told Fitch years ago, I said, look, if you don't do a good job, I might have to primary you. At that time, I wasn't a resident of the district long enough, and no one would vote for me anyway. But I do want you to win because I think that these voices are important, and, with Fitch leaving, there's some risk there. So, Dennis, good luck. Do you have a campaign website or anything like that?
I do. It's www.DennisHancock.org.
We'll get you on the roundtable soon. Good to chat with you, Dennis. Great to have you back.
Thanks, Mark. Have a good evening.
541 97.1 FM Talk. We have an audio cut of the day. Living Newton John passed away, so we'll have to feature that just a little bit. We had some good news with the suspect in the Ted Drews hit and run is now...
He turned himself in.
Custody. Yeah, turned himself in. So that broke a little bit later this afternoon as well. Sue's got traffic. We're back with more, plus the audio cut of the day. Hang in there. I'm old enough to remember the great drought of 2022. Got more rain on the way. Wherever you go. This is Olivia Newton-John, Let Me Be There. I believe this was a number one song, but she passed away today at the age of 73, so we're going to feature her in our audio cut of the day here in just a couple of minutes. I kind of like this song.
Yeah,
did I admit that?
I get it.
I mean, it's certainly not Let's Get Physical, but nice. This was innocent, non-leathered up Olivia Newton-John, right? This was Sandy, the girl next door, before she got all naughty with John Travolta. Let me be. I always like that deep baritone in this song, too. Sing along, Sue. Belt it out if you can. Let me change what Sue Thomas is also someone who has talked about swimming, and that means you probably are in, you know, showers and rooms at swimming pools, right?
Yes,
in Port Townsend,
sadly.
Washington, there's a woman named Julie Jaman who finished a swim at the Mountain View Pool. She soaped up in the shower. She heard the voice of a man.
What?
Well, she thought it was a man. She looked out. And she says that she was swimming when the aquatics manager, Rowan DeLuna, told her that a group of children were going to use her lane. She went to the women's showers. There are no private showers. They're all clustered in a common area that requires users to step in and out of the showers in view of the others. The light curtains on each shower stall do not provide much of a shield. So she's lathered up in the shower. Julie hears a low male voice. She saw a male in a woman's swimsuit very close. She says... She was looking at the little girls as they were taking off their suits. She says she was shocked. There were gaps in the curtain, and I was there naked with soap and water on me, and this guy right there is very close to me. So she calls out a question. She says, "Do you have a penis?" Well, I don't know if you know this, ladies and gentlemen, but in 2022 and beyond, that question, that is verboten. You cannot ask that question. That's discriminatory because he says, that's none of your business. So she says, get out of here right now. She goes to complain. This is actually a YMCA that runs this, which is even more shocking. The shower room male was named Clementine, was a Y worker. Clementine did not display anything identifying him as a YMCA employee. Julie does not remember getting dry and dressed. She exits the showers, enters the foyer to leave the building. From the door, Rowan declares, "You have not abided by our principles and values." So in other words, she's the one that's being called out, and now she's banned from the YMCA because she was discriminating. She's raising concerns about little girls being naked in front of a guy who has transitioned, and then she gets banned from the YMCA because she's a bigot. This is what's happening in this world right now. She went before the Port Townsend City Council. She's 80 years old. She's been at the Y for 35
she's
years.
She's 80 years old.
She's been at the, she goes, in an effort by the city and the YMCA to apply the neo-cultural gender rules at Mountain View Pool, my experience while showering after my swim was seeing a man in a women's swimsuit watching little girls pull down their bathing suits in order to use the toilets. I reacted by telling him to leave, and the consequence is that I've been banned from the pool. There's no signage informing women in the shower room that it's now all gender, nor have parents been informed of what they can expect. The Y has not provided any dressing shower room options for women who do not want to be exposed to men who identify as women. It's unconscionable that the YMCA would instigate these new policies without clearly informing pool patrons and parents. And by the way, I would agree with that. It's and this is what's happening, all in the name of wokeness. And then there was a report that came out over the weekend from the woke army that the army is going to force female soldiers to shower with biological males as well now. So if you have a daughter who's going into the army, there's an opportunity for them to be showering with men that have not transitioned fully. And this is all, but you can't oppose that. I mean, even me, you know, we joined the YMCA in Fenton. They changed River Chase to the Y. And they do have goofy rules now. The YMCA, they have different rules in River Chase. So my daughter, who was in the big pool, Sue, can't go over there without a swim test anymore.
Well,
she
that's
could,
okay.
She can probably pass
I'm
the swim
okay
test.
With that.
Well, it's fine. But they, you know, here's a goofier one. She's over the height requirement for the slide, right? So she can go up to the slide on her own. I go there the other day. Sorry, I digress. You know how this is. She's in the lazy river with
this other little girl who's eight. My daughter's 7.5. They're well above the lazy river height, right? Their heads are above.
Yeah.
And the lifeguard says, are those yours? I said, well, one of them is. Said, can't be in here without a parent. I'm like, what are you talking? How close to? She goes, arm's length. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Arm's length from the girls?
It was dumb. I ignored it. I said, well, what's the age requirement? She says, 8 and under. Well, I said, well, they're 8. I lied a little bit there. But it's just, see, sometimes these rules are just meant to be rules.
Wait a minute.
So they can go up, she can go up the slide.
Yes.
She's tall enough to go down the slide and risk her life.
But she can't
be in the lazy river where she can stand and her head is fully above the water because she's not 8 years old or 9.
Well, I know they're just doing it to be safe, but I understand your frustration.
I just wanted to point out that there's rules that are dumb and then there's just dumb rules, and I had to mention that.
Mostly dumb when they affect you negatively.
Oh, no doubt about that. That's when their chief dumb.
Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, it's sponsored by the Good Feet Store. It's all about comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief. And I do think that we need a little roundup of Olivia Newton-John. But here she is on Geraldo talking about Grease.
You know, she was so, in terms of...
Oh, this is Geraldo talking about her. I'm sorry. She died today at the age of 73.
You know, she was so... In terms of, you know, the sweetness, the Sandy persona, she really projected that, you know, as few others could have done. It was so her innocence, you know, her relative reclusive life or regimented life. And then all of a sudden she meets John Travolta, the rebel. They get connect with song and dance.
You know, there is movie chemistry, and then there's movie chemistry.
Come on.
And I think that that was an amazing movie chemistry between Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. Iconic. She had suffered from cancer for a long time, and she died at the age of 73 after having a string of hits and, you know, acting and doing a physical video, which no doubt you'll probably see at some point tonight or tomorrow. And it's kind of horrifying when you look at that from 1982 or 1983. I admitted earlier in the show that I actually went, Olivia Newton-John on the physical tour, I think we have to play that, came to the arena, and I think it was in 1982 or 83 when that record was out, and I saw her, went to that concert.
You took a date. You were trying to be romantic.
It was like one of the only two dates I had in high school.
Aww.
To the Olivia Newton-John concert, and then she broke up with me, and my friend John did make it very clear, and I never thought of it this way, and I think he's right. The reason I got dumped is because I took her to the Olivia Newton-John concert. That's probably it. We'll go out with Let Me Be There. You have a great night. We'll talk tomorrow.
At 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.